Friends, welcome to another edition of Wild and True. Today we want to talk about something, or at least I want to talk about something that's pretty important to me, and that is letting somebody know where you are. I know, you know, as hunters and fishermen and everything, we don't necessarily like to tell everybody where we're at. But the ability for somebody to find you is extremely important. And you may not think so, but it can become real important really fast. But first, let's have a word from a few of our sponsors. Gary Stevie at Three Heart Outfitters, your North Idaho adventure headquarters. Catpaw Bend, your source for seedlings and seeds for your own game paradise. Winchester Shot Shells, packing the punch for trophy longbeards. Mossy Oak Camo, hiding hunters in plain sight for 30 years. And Federal Ammunition, the best over-the-counter ammo for big game, period. And to that, I want to add a couple more. One of them is Onyx Mapping. It's I don't know the exact terminology for it, but it's Onyx. And what this does, it allows you to pinpoint exactly where you're at, and it provides you as a hunter with a wealth of information, property lines, and you can enter waypoints and so on and so forth. But that's Onyx. And the other one, and this is more geared towards wilderness hunters, but it can hold true in most all hunting situations, is Ufrote. And that's when making fire counts. They have a line of fire starters that works anytime, anywhere, any place. And they're based right there in Bonner Ferry, Idaho, where I used to live. But the main thing that I want to drive home in this episode is that you need to be sure that you let somebody know where you are. Now, I spent a portion of my life, I don't know, maybe 5 to 7 years, that I would have been extremely difficult to find. But I always left a note. I always left a note at my house, because I knew the men that would come looking for me would know that there would be a note there. And it, at the very least, they would have a drainage to look up. And once you have a drainage out west, it becomes pretty easy to kind of narrow it down. And even on horseback, if you find a truck, you've got a starting place. And, you know, I laugh and joke and talk about it all the time, but I'm really good about telling Nicole where I'm going to be, and she'll nail it down to a T, because she's been off with me before, and she tries to nail it down, and I try to give her a little bit more information than just where the truck is going to be. Now, a lot of times I'll make a decision in the middle that I don't let nobody know nothing about, and it's those decisions that can adversely affect the whole deal. And, you know, it's not that you expect anything to happen, but in many cases, something can happen. And I would rather have some nobody looking for me that had an idea where to start than somebody just looking for me out of a whole county or something, especially when the counties are as big as they were in Idaho and Montana and everywhere. I mean, you know, if you didn't know have a place to begin, you wouldn't even stand a chance, really, at finding them a whole lot. And this is just a case in point. Three of us went off one time, and I really wasn't going to go, and they begged me to go along, and I opted out once, and then they called back. I got through that one and didn't go. And the third time they called, one of them, a good friend of mine up there, he said, Bubba, he called me Bubba all the time. He said, Bubba, he said, I'll bring you a horse. He said, you ain't got to do nothing. He said, you can meet us at so-and-so, so-and-so, which was about halfway up that river valley. And he said, we can drop your rig right there. And he said, we just going to run up in there and we're going to check this trail system and, you know, just ride that top of the ridge out, and then we're going to fall off back to the side and come back to the truck. Basically, make a one-sided circle. Well, that was good in theory. But what happened to us is we were so happy to see each other and just to be riding horses up in the mountains and all that kind of stuff, is that we went up the side of one drainage and we were looking for a trail system on top of the drainage, and everybody focused on looking for a few minutes, and then we get to chatting and carrying on because we could kind of spread out. And what happened is we missed the trail on the top, and then fell off down the other side, which we, in retrospect, shouldn't have never done. But the long and the short of it was, I seen some things I ain't never seen. We had a horse that had a pack saddle, and it had hard plastic panniers on it. Well, that's really good that the panniers are easy to pack, and they're easy to use, and they provide some good storage, but they ain't designed for no brushy area. They ain't commando work approved, as Preston Gothel would say. They just ain't. I mean, you start trying to find places you can get the panniers through, and then once you find a place, I mean, two panniers on the back of a horse, you're talking about 4 feet. You know, that's pushing it, especially in that coniferous jungle up there and all that kind of stuff. And to boot, we had one chainsaw and we had one tank of gas and a pop bottle full of gas and some oil, of course, and all that kind of stuff. And when we missed the trail on top and fell off down that drainage down the other side, we got in a drainage within a drainage. There's a lot of finger ridges and stuff like that. We really fell into a mess. And the thing I remember the most about seeing that particular afternoon, I had never seen this before until I was down. And of course, all of them did it because they didn't have no choice. You know, we were jumping horses up on top of logs and they would balance up there like mountain goats and then jump down the other side. So they jump up on the log and collect itself and then jump down the other side. A lot of times we try to notch the log a little bit to give them something to stand on and all that kind of stuff. Well, this went on to about 10:30, 11 o'clock at night, and we were really ill-equipped for darkness, let me put it like that. We had enough lights to see around and walk around. We didn't have enough light to try to maneuver all what we were trying to do and all that kind of stuff. So finally we all pulled up and just said we're going to spend the night right there, be getting a horse hurt or somebody poking the eye out on a twig or something like that. And so we all kind of burrowed down. And I'm bad build me a nest. You can ask anybody that's ever been in a mountain environment with me. I generally don't try to sit up and feed the fire. When they start talking about that business, I start looking for me a trench somewhere, because I'm going to get over there and get me a bunch of leaves and all kinds of stuff and get everything I can get on and throw over the top of me. I'm going to look like a polar bear over there. As a matter of fact, I've had them cuss me a time or two before, and I'd wake up, I'd have to stretch out a little bit, and I'd be like, boy, I didn't sleep that bad. And everybody would be like, we know. I said, y'all do pretty good out here by this fire. And they said, no, we could hear you snoring. I was like, it takes a lot of wood to burn fire through the night. I don't know if you've ever kept up with it, but if it's dry, and especially if you're out west and it's soft wood, you could run a chainsaw dry, burn it up that same evening, and all that kind of stuff. But anyway, on that particular trip, we went off, we jumped drainages, and only one person knew where we was at. One man's wife knew where we was at. And I asked her later on, I said, how long are you going to give us? And she said, I figured all y'all together, she said, y'all have one more day. And we went off for an afternoon trail ride. And 2 days later, in the afternoon, we come out. And we finally caught a road system down there in the bottom. And by roads, you know, the roads, don't let the Forest Service fool you. By the roads, most of the time they done replanted them back into alder or something like that, and they decommissioned. So that means they ain't nothing but a jungle. But they sure beat the alternative. But I saw enough timber. I saw enough down timber that day to realize that the federal government's got to be pulling somebody's leg if they're saying that our timber situation is hurting too bad up in there, because there were some trees big as I was up in there laying on their side, just laying up in there and all that kind of stuff. But back to letting somebody know where you're at or gonna be or when you're gonna be out. And the reason why I want to stress this so much is I had something. I know a lot of people are familiar with this. Some people may not be. I had a kind of a health issue. Oh, it's been 4 or 5 years ago now. And long and the short of it is, they blowed the end of the ball game twice on me before I come out of it. But I got up that morning and Nicole said she heard the door shut about 3:15. I was going to a turkey, and the last thing I remember was trying to decide. Well, I remember a couple of little snippets after that. I was trying to decide what turkey I was going after, and so I solved that problem. And then the next thing that comes to my memory is I was hunting with a youth model 20 gauge. It got to where going up and down them mountains and all, a lot of times everybody's having all this shot thing going on about this shot and that shot and this shot and that shot and all kinds of shot and chokes and everything like that. And if you continue to do it the plain simple way, which is what I did with that 20 gauge, and that's get them up there around 30 yards and shoot a good load and aim the gun, and the gun shoots straight, the turkey going to the house. That's just the way it is. And so I took that little old 20 gauge, and the second memory I have was I was down beside this tree, and I went to get up, and I had some trouble getting up. And as I was having problems getting up, you know, the inclination is to push on that gun to help you stand up. And I remember thinking, I was like, this short barrel gun, now, you know, make sure that you keep it in a situation where you're safe with it. I said, then you don't want nobody to find you blowed in half up here because you couldn't get your old tail up off the ground. I just remembered that for some reason, is make sure I had the barrel in a safe direction away from me if I was going to use it to help me stand up and all that kind of stuff. Because, you know, a youth model 20 gauge is about like hunting with a BB gun and all that kind of stuff. Well, the situation deteriorated rapidly from there. Some kind of way I went to town, because I later found what I bought. And then I made it back home, and I have a vague recollection of a trash can. And then the next thing you know, Nicole was home, and all that kind of stuff. And she said she knew something was fishy when the house was all dark. And then she come on in there, and long story short, said when she got to the bedroom, looked like they done killed a cow in there. And I had a situation where I was hemorrhaging from the inside. And basically, over the course of the first 6 days I was under, they pumped 78 units of blood in me to keep me alive. If anybody that particular day, you can make fun of the people that save people's lives for a living and all that kind of stuff, but if the ER doctor we'd have went to in the first place, if the helicopter crew, if the trauma team that took me, if anybody had dropped the ball, there wouldn't be no Wild and True podcast. It'd be a bunch of Wild and True memories and all that kind of stuff. So it's very, very important that you let somebody know where you're at and when to expect you back. Now, they don't have to go all cattywampus, jump the gun if you're not back, but they just need the ability to give them a place to get started. I mean, it's pretty easy. You know, we say it's not, but I've known some pretty tough individuals that make a misstep and tear a tendon or do something and end up having to hobble or build a fire and shelter in till somebody can come get them and all that kind of stuff. But the simple process of leaving a note can help stop all that. And then you got to be able to tell if you're going to go the cell phone route, which, you know, I got mixed emotions about that because I live down here now. I live down in the lower part of Mississippi. And you would assume that you would have cell phone service everywhere. But the places where I end up, I can't get out. It's pretty wild, you know. And so if you go the cell phone route, you need to have some way of passing along your location to somebody. And Onyx software provides you with that. It can provide you with the exact coordinates of your position. It's the most incredible thing. I mean, I know GPS's can too, but Onyx just takes it to a whole new level. Number one, you can look at the land. You can look at the topography. You can get the weather forecast. You can do anything. It's pretty nifty software to have. And then if we want to, I know I'm going to mispronounce this because I have a problem mispronouncing it. And they were a company that was based in the town that I lived in, and I still can't pronounce it. And I stopped by there and asked them how to one day. It's Ufroti. They said just like it sounds. Well, that's the way it sounds to me. And they make a little fire starter. They make one that hangs around your neck. They make a little fire starting kit. You can basically start a fire anywhere with this thing. It don't get wet. It's not like a lighter. It's a, you know, like a scratch fire starter and all. And a lot of times the ability to start a fire transform the whole evening, you know, for you, or your whole waiting period. And sometimes it can be a legitimate danger. I mean, even duck hunters and stuff like that. Of course, I don't know what you do in a swamp. I'd end up having to burn the fuel out of the outboard or burn the outboard motor or something. And if I got lost in the marsh, I don't know. That'd be a chore. But it's like I told them one time, I'm from South Alabama. If I jumped out of an airplane without a parachute, you give me about 2 seconds and I'll weave one out of something before I get to the ground. At any rate, that's just something else for y'all to think about. And everybody kind of be safe in the turkey woods this spring. And for God's sakes, please, everybody identify your target. Till later, y'all take care.